All right, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. Or actually, Genesis chapter 3. We'll end up going back to Genesis chapter 2 in a little bit. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good for knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it pleased, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Wherefore I command thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust thou shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I pray, as we take a look here at this passage, Lord, that we can have an understanding, Lord, of your word. We have an understanding of our need for the Savior, Lord, that we can just have an understanding of the Bible overall and of how you work and operate today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, here we're going to look at the fall of man. Now, I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I mean, we learned this, you know. However, there may be some things that you know, you've heard before. This may be a reminder to you, but there may be some things that maybe you haven't caught before that you're going to catch. This is very important. This is important even when you go through the plan of salvation with someone, teach them. You know, they need to understand of why we need to be born again. Why, you know, and what these things mean here in this passage and where sin had come from. Now, we know that Satan was an angel. He was filled with pride. In Isaiah 14, the Bible tells us he desired to be God. And we find that this had taken place sometime before man was created. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail on the matter. But before man created, and then God creates man, and well, Satan is down here on earth, and Satan hates God. You know, he wants to hurt God. And he has an opportunity to have hurting God by attacking man whom God loves. Now, up until the third chapter, we find that man has perfect fellowship with God, lived in perfect peace with the animals. He was innocent. They were naked, the Bible said, and they had no shame. This is what God had given to them. But then we find comes the fall of man. Now, do you realize the fall of man, it affects every day. Every day that we live, you know. For example, you know, every problem, every sickness comes from the fall of man. The story, you know, of Eve taking the forbidden fruit there, taking that forbidden tree, is not a fairy tale. It's true. You know, I find that we ought to take God's word seriously. That God's word is true. You know, when you go to work and you sweat, you know, you can thank Adam. You know, when a woman gives birth, she goes through labor pains, she can be reminded of the fall of man and she can thank Eve. When you go out in the garden, you pull weeds and you're pricked by thorns, you can be reminded of the curse upon man because of the fall. You find that man suffers every day. But this suffering would not exist, and sickness and all that would not exist if man had not sinned. But we know that we have a remedy, and that remedy is Jesus Christ, that He is the answer. You know, that we can, you know, and one day we will go back to that original condition, that original state, you know, where we'll be able to have perfect peace with God and we'll be away from all sin, but not until we meet Jesus there in the clouds. Look over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. We're going to find the first law that God gave. Genesis 2:15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Find that God had called them to work, that they were to work. In verse 16, it said, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So God creates Adam and Eve, and He places them in a perfect environment. This perfect environment, they are created in the image of God, and we find that He does have the ability to sin, and He does sin, and God gives them one law, and that law was they could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This command was not an unreasonable command. They had everything that they needed, everything that they could get at. It was all available to them. They just gave him one thing, one law that he could not do. And say, well, why did God do that? Why did he give them a law? Why did it, you know, well, I believe the reason why, and I believe it's clear that the reason why is that God wanted us to serve him and to obey him, not because there was no other options, but out of love. You know, he wasn't forcing us to obey, wasn't forcing us to love, but he gives man a free will. God told him if they ate of this tree, the Bible said, thou shalt surely die. Now, I remember the first time I read that, and I thought, well, Eve, she ate of the tree. You know, she ate of that tree, and, you know, and she didn't die, at least not right then, right? I mean, she still lived, you know, and she lived another 800 or whatever years. I mean, I could find it there, but she lived a long time after that. But she did die. She died spiritually that day, you know. She didn't die physically. She died spiritually. She began to die physically, you know. She began to die, and she began to get old, and pains began to come, and sickness began to come, and eventually she died. But that day she died spiritually, when she took of that fruit. And that's why we have a need for being born again, for that second birth. Now we're going to take a look at what happened. And we're going to look at Satan, how he tempted her. We're going to look at his deception. Over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, I'm just going to read this verse. It says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Find that Satan is tempting Jesus, you know, after Jesus fasts for 40 days, and he tempts him to turn the stones into bread. And the Bible says that it calls Satan, calls him the tempter. That Satan, that he is a tempter. Now Satan, what he did is he possessed a serpent. He disguised himself as a serpent. He possessed a snake, and he went to that snake, and then he went to deceive Eve. Now we find that Satan, that he came and he approached Eve. Now I believe that he approached Eve on purpose. I believe he didn't approach Adam. He approached Eve because he believed that she was an easier target. We'll say, well, why that? Well, the Bible does say in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. The Bible calls the wife, or the woman, calls her a weaker vessel. Now, in the average case, man is stronger. Ladies are more emotional. Not in all cases, you know. That's not just true overall. I've met some strong women, you know. But for the most part, you know, we find that ladies are a little more sensitive than men. And this is why a lot of cults are started by women, and that Satan has deceived them. And then what happens is then they pull around the guys, they bring them with them. And so Satan, we find that he goes and he attacks the weaker vessel. Now what I don't understand, we find that Adam, the Bible tells us that he was with her. All right, he was with her when she was. I've always believed when I was younger, hear the story, and I believe that Eve was all alone. She left her husband, and she was there alone, and Satan came in. But the Bible says that she took the fruit, and Adam was with her. And I think we read that earlier. We'll go back to that in a little bit. But Adam was right there, and you wonder why Adam didn't say something. He didn't say, you know, God told us not to do that or something, but he just stood there like a big dummy, you know. And let her do it. And then the Bible says that he took the fruit because he loved his wife. And so we find that they had both had taken of the fruit and they had sinned. I want to take a look at how Satan, how he operated in tempting Eve. The first thing I want you to notice is he cast doubt on the Word of God. You know, if any man holds true the Word of God, or God's Word, the truth, then Satan cannot win. But once we find that you begin to doubt the Word of God, you know, Satan has room to get in and to deceive you. You know, that's why we make such a big deal about the Word of God being true and without error. Because once you bring a doubt in the Word of God, you say, well, this really isn't supposed to be here, then you start doubting everything. You start wondering, and it all falls apart. You know, we find, looking in verse 1, and it says, In chapter 3, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he first questions the Word of God. Did God, now, did he really say that, you know? And that's kind of the first thing that he does. He questions the Word of God, almost like he's saying, that doesn't really seem fair, you know. God's not really being a nice God. He's not. He's holding something back. You mean he won't let you eat of every tree? You mean there's a tree there that he's holding back from you? And that's kind of what he was suggesting there when he was talking to her. You know, he wasn't just, you know, wondering what God said. No, he was trying to plant that seed. And the Bible talks about how Satan plants seed thoughts in our minds, you know. Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible said that they said that they sold everything. You know, that they sold everything, they gave all the money to the church, and they didn't, they held some back. But where that idea came from? The Bible says that Satan gave them that idea, that he planted that thought, that idea inside of their mind. And here we find Satan, he's causing them to question God's Word. Now, did God really say that? And the next thing, look in verse 4. It says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So here now he just goes out and just, you know, denies God's Word and said that God is lying, that this is not true. He's saying that, you know, that you are not going to die if you take this fruit. This is not what God was saying, and he denies God's Word. Now verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he begins to add to God's word. He says that when you do this, your eyes are going to be opened. You'll be as gods. You know, he acts once again that God is holding something back. God doesn't want you guys to become as gods. God doesn't want your eyes to be open. He wants to keep you in the dark. So, you know, just stay away from this. And so Satan's trying to tell him no. He's saying, you know, this is something that you want to do. You know, Satan was out to get at God. And he was doing, he was being deceptive. You know, deceptive in doing this, causing Eve to doubt the word of God. You know, I believe we can trace this back even to, you know, you wonder, and we're going to talk about this here in the future, we're going to have a little series on this. You wonder, how come there are over 380 or 90 different versions of the Bible? You know? How come? How come there's so many different Bibles? You know, there's only one Quran. You don't find a billion different Qurans. You only find one. You know, but you find tons of different Bibles, and some Bibles have, you know, some verses. Some Bibles are missing those verses. Some Bibles have extra verses. You know, why is that? What in the world? I mean, talk about confusion. You know, you go into a bookstore and say, what Bible should I use? And they're going to show you tons of different Bibles. Some are going to look like magazines. Some are going to look like, you know, just they're going to be all different things, different types of Bibles, different things. Say, well, how do we know what's true and what's not true? And I believe that Satan has really caused a lot of confusion on the Word of God. Now, we only use the King James Bible here. We believe that's the inspired, preserved Word of God. And I believe that it comes back to, people say, well, you know, most people have the idea that the reason why there's all these new Bibles, they say because they just get rid of the these and the thous. You know, they just change these nows and they just add them, make it easier to read. Well, you don't get rid of Acts 8:37, you know, to make it easier to read. You don't get rid of the last chapter of the book of Mark. You know, you don't get rid of complete verses to make it easier to read. No, there's something more to it. There's something more to it, and it comes from, you know, different manuscripts. But most people have no idea. You know, they just, you know, they go to the bookstore, they go to the Christian bookstore, and they just say, this one's easy to read, this one's popular, this one's a new Bible out. And they just get whatever is told them. But I believe there's danger in that, you know. There's danger, why? Because it attacks, you know, the deity of Christ, attacks the virgin birth of Christ, it attacks, you know, about the blood, you know, for an easy illustration, how the Bible says there in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about how, you know, I don't even know the verse now. It's about narrow is the way. Can someone help me on that verse? You got that? Well, anyways, the new verses have changed that to hard is the way that leadeth unto life. Hard is the way. Now, I want you to understand, you know, it's not hard to get to heaven. It's easy to get to heaven. You just have to call upon Jesus Christ, your Savior, all right? But it is the narrow way. There's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. But it's not a hard way, you know. It's an easy way, but it's only through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The hard way, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard to live in sin. It's hard, you know, try and work your way to heaven. But when you place your trust in Jesus Christ, then it's easy. And maybe we'll find that verse later. But what? Well, can you read it? I'm not there. You want to read it? All right, narrow is the way, and they've changed it to, you know, hard. Hard there is the way. I think that's even in the New King James Version, actually. You say, well, what is the New King James? That just makes it easier to read, you know, it's new. But I didn't really want to make this this sermon about, you know, the translation of the Bible, but I think this is where it all traces back to, that Satan causes confusion. He casts doubt upon the Word of God. You know, many just have no idea, you know, but the problem is we need to believe that there is a preserved Word of God, that God promises there in Psalms chapter 12 and verse 7 that He has preserved His Word for every generation. That these are not man's words, these are God's words. Not like that thing that we read today, this morning, about John R. Rice, when he preached here in Binghamton at the Bingham Theater in January 27th of 1936. you know, he preached and he just stood there and just preached and said about, we have the infallible word of God, you know, God's word is pure. And he said, if you can't believe the Bible, then really you can't believe any of it. You can't believe God. I mean, how can you believe God can preserve your soul and have enough power to get you to heaven? You don't believe he can preserve the word of God. You know, but God's word is true. Find that Satan uses these same tactics that he used on Eve on us every day when we question God's words by our actions. You know, we think God's holding things back from us that are good. But God cares about us. God wants what's best for us. He gives us the word of God. He doesn't do us to hold fun back from us. No, he knows what's best for us. You know, he's not holding anything back. He knows what we need. He knows what we should have. Find that Eve, that she should have not given place to the devil. She should have not even have talked with the devil. God told her not to eat of the tree. And when God tells me something, then I need to realize I need to stay away from it. You know, I mean, just here's a kind of a dumb example. It comes to, you know, dieting, you know, trying to eat right, you know. A good idea if you're dieting is don't go eat at McDonald's, because there's only like one thing on the menu, like a salad, you know, and like a water that you can eat. And it's just like, why would you bring yourself that there when there's like nothing, you know? Why would you bring yourself that close to something that, to bring temptation right before you? You know, Eve, that she came right up to that tree. I mean, she was scoping that tree out. She was looking at it. She wanted to know what God did not want her to have. You know, she shouldn't have not have been around it. You know, we joke around about Eve falling. You know, really, we make the same mistake every day. We sin every day. You know, we try to get as close as we can to sin. We get right up on that fence, you know, without actually sinning. You know, Eve got up close to that tree and she began to admire it. You know, she is admiring that forbidden thing. You know, eventually it's going to cause us to take it. You know, when you admire things that you should not have, you know, they'll cause you to fall. You know, we shouldn't admire the sinful lifestyle. We should get away from it. We should fear the Lord. The Bible said fear the Lord is to hate evil. You know, sometimes you may find yourself, you know, watching TV and you start to laugh at sin, you know, and you realize, whoa, I'm bringing myself, you know, to where sin is becoming entertainment to me. I'm not doing it, but I'm watching it, you know, and you find yourself that eventually you'll be doing it yourself. You know, we ought to crucify the flesh daily. We don't want to get ourselves a appetite for, you know, for the flesh, but, you know, we need to have an appetite for spiritual food. You know, one thing, it may seem like a silly thing to you, but, you know, my children, you know, they have them, they watch TV and watch Sesame Street and all that, and the music has changed from Sesame Street from what it used to be. I mean, what they used to do, Sesame Street was all, you know, little kid music, but now it's like a rap music, you know? And you say, well, you know, it's just little kids' words, they're singing the alphabet, but, you know, I don't really want my daughter to get an appetite for that type of music. You know, then all of a sudden they get older and I say, you can't listen to that music. They say, what are you talking about? I grew up on that style of music. I grew up on that stuff. And now all of a sudden it's wrong. You know, I understand that that we don't want to build that appetite for them. I mean, I had them watching Bible Man the other day. They're watching, we got the CD called Bible Man. And I mean, the music on Bible Man, I was pretty shocked, you know. It was pretty edgy, you know, for Bible Man. But the Bible tells us over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Bible says that we are to teach through hymns, spiritual songs, you know, singing, you know, that we learn from our music, you know, your kids, you know, they, you know, have an iPod, you know, their music, you know, MTV, whatever it is. They listen to music all the time. You can say all you want that it does not affect you, But you're being taught something. You're being taught how to live. You're being taught how to talk, how to act. You're being taught what you are to like. I mean, they've done studies and showed that MTV pretty much, they set the trends. They set how people think. They set what people do. That kids, they just follow, you know, because they're being taught. And it's important that we listen to the right kind of music because we're being taught. We're being taught doctrine. Being taught in, you know, through our music, and it helps us in how we think. You know, I always go back. I told this story a dozen times, but our missionary brother Angelo Serino, there in Alaska, he was there in for, you know, and they have the dark months during that time. And he said he was there. He said he was getting depressed during that. He said he started listening to this heavy rock music, and he was listening to this music, and he said he would listen to that every night. And he said he eventually seen this big rifle his dad had up on the wall, and he took that rifle, and he, you know, was, you know, considering taking his life, and he didn't. He said he set it back. The next night, he said he came out and he put a bullet in it. Didn't do anything. He said he put it back. He said, just listen to that music, and that music is just, you know, it's just, you know, it's affecting him, you know. And eventually, he took that gun, and he pulled the trigger, you know. And however, he did not die. You know, he lived. It's just a horrible tragedy, and now he's, you know, has a lot of health problems and things like that, but he got saved after that, and now he's in Italy preaching the gospel, and God has used him in a great way, you know. But I mean, he'll tell you that music, it affected me. That music affected me, it affected me a lot. You know, I know when I made a choice to live for the Lord, I didn't try to find music that sounded just like the music that I used to listen to. You know, I was a changed man. The Bible said all things become new. You know, I wanted no part of that old life. You know, I listened to some, you know, I started listening to some Southern gospel music, which is 100% opposite of what I was listening to before, you know. Then I made a choice. I didn't want to pull up to school in my car playing music that sounded just like the music I used to play, and everyone, you know, and see that, you know, I wanted to be separate from that old lifestyle. I wasn't trying to deceive people. I wasn't trying to fit in with anybody. I didn't want to try to live as close as possible. If I would have started listening to that music, you know, I would have just went ahead and listened to regular music like that. I mean, I wouldn't try to, you know, God, it's just going to pull me back into there. That I don't want to feed that appetite of the flesh. Find that Eve, that she began to speak with Satan, and the Bible tells that we are to flee from Satan. You know, I want you to take a look at what Eve did to Scripture after she, in her conversation with Satan. In verse 2, is after Eve had already caused her to kind of question God's word. Eve said, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the fruit. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." I want you to notice here, two things that she said. One thing is she took away one word there in verse 2. It says that, and the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. Now look over in chapter 2 in verse 16, I believe. In verse 16 it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So first thing, and you may see that that's not a big deal. She took out the word freely. Instead of just eat, so that we can freely eat. She takes that out. Now in verse 3, she said they can't eat of it, neither can we touch it. So now we find out that Eve, now she adds to the word of God in verse 3. In verse 3, it says that we can't even touch it. Well, God never said anything about touch it, you know, but here said that we can't even touch it. And then in verse 3, it says, lest, at the end of it, it says, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now it seems like she kind of toned down the word of God. Because the Bible says, thou shalt surely die. And she says, lest ye die. And like you say, that's not really a big deal, but it is, because it caused her to, you know, then she begins to kind of take God's word lightly. She begins to kind of add to it, take away from it. We find that when she did take a bite of that fruit, You know, I think then she understood that thou shalt surely die. She then realized, recalled the verse. You know, I mean, I don't know if at that moment she started to get wrinkles on her face. She started to get pains. I'm not really know if it was happening like right then, but she died spiritually and she began to die physically. You know, if you wanted to have victory over sin, you must take the word of God word for word and follow it. The actual sin that she had was she did not obey the word of God. You know, obeying this book is a big deal. That's where all sin comes from. You know, we did not obey the word of God. Now look in verse 7. We're going to look at the result of man's fall. In verse 7 it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Thou hast eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said to the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." What happens is we find after she ate of that tree, she began to feel guilty. You know, she had shame. The Bible says their eyes were opened. In fact, the Bible tells us that they sewn fig leaves together. And they made clothes because they felt ashamed. The Bible says that they were naked before that, and they were not ashamed. That here that they were in the garden, they didn't, you know, they had no shame. But because of their sin, all of a sudden they became ashamed. All of a sudden they had that guilt. Not only did they have that guilt and that shame, but we find they lost their desire to fellowship with God. They hid from Him. You know, God was looking for them. He was calling. They heard and they hid themselves. Now think about that. When we're running from God and we're away from God, you know, we're not in God's will, we don't want to have fellowship with God. We're not running to the Word of God. We're not running to church. We're not having a good prayer life. You know, here, this is exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. They sinned and all of a sudden, they did not desire to have fellowship with God. I picture Adam and Eve every day running, you know, to God every day, just wanting to see Him, wanting that sweet fellowship. But here we find they hid themselves. They hid themselves. Genesis 2:25, it says that they were not ashamed, and now they were ashamed. Now verse 10, I like to say it's God's first altar call. In verse 9, it says, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, Where art thou? And they said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because thou wast naked, and I hid myself." Here God calls. God knew exactly where they were. God knew exactly what they had done. But He wanted them to respond. He wanted them to humble themselves. And we have an altar call to church. You know, we ask people to respond to God. You know, God, you know, God spoke to in the message. Has God said during this message sometime, has He said, "Where art thou?" Has God said, "Hey, what about you? What's going on in your life?" And God wants us to respond. Now, you don't have to physically walk the aisle and get on your knees and pray. But, I mean, I like to. And the reason I like to, because I just feel like, man, I'm just, you know, humbling myself before God. It doesn't matter whether people think, you know, it's because I'm doing it just between me and God. And you can do it in your seat, you can do it at home, wherever, you know. But I believe that God calls us to respond to Him, you know, personally. You know, we find when God asked them about what they had done, they begin to blame Adam. You know, he blames the woman that you gave me. You know, it was her, you know, like he's blaming him for giving him her, you know. He's, the woman you gave me was her fault. And then he goes to her and she says, "Nope, it was the serpent. The serpent beguiled me." And then we find in verse 14 and 15, we find the curse. "And Lord said upon the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast on the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust Thou shalt eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and upon the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You know, evidently the serpent did not always, that one time he had legs, you know, but now he does not. That part of the curse that he had to slither on his belly. The Bible tells us that here, that in verse 15, it speaks the curse on Satan, that as he will be defeated once for all. We find a curse on woman. We find in verse 16 that she'll have labor pains and their husband will rule over them. We find a curse upon the ground with thorns and thistles, a curse upon man for a work for his food, the sweat of his brow, physical and spiritual death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." You know, because Adam and Eve, because they sinned, and I know this is just a reminder, you know, that because they sinned there in the garden, we're born with a sin nature. We're born dead spiritually. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So, because of that sin, you know, we have all these sickness, all the labor pains. We have this battle, this struggle that goes on, you know. But, I mean, the main thing is that we are, you know, headed for hell because we're dead spiritually. We're cut off from our fellowship with God, that we need to be born again. Now, although we know this is a horrible thing, but we must understand there is a cure, there is a solution. And that solution, the Bible says, is the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman. In verse 15, "I will be put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Now, this is interesting right here. It says her seed. Now, that doesn't make sense. Because the woman doesn't have the seed. The man has the seed. You know? And so what you have is, most Bibles have taken that her seed out and they put her offspring. You know, but the problem with that is that attacks the deity of Jesus Christ, because it's not from his seed. It's, you know, it was given by the Holy Spirit. This is implying a supernatural birth. This is implying a virgin birth. Find this is the really the first mention here of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, he's from her seed. You know, if he was from Adam's seed, then he would have sin. And he could not die for our sins. You know, we find that this curse was passed down from generation, but if he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, it would be a virgin birth. And Jesus has come as the Lamb of God, you know, to defeat Satan on the cross, just as predicted that he bruises the head of Satan. You know, I talked to my brother-in-law, Rob, and I see, you know, he has one of those Bibles that are, you know, Hebrew and English, you know. And I just asked, just curious, what does your Bible say here, you know, in Hebrew for her seed? Because his English side said it said her offspring. But the Hebrew side, he read it and it said her seed, you know. But they just changed it because that doesn't make sense. Well, of course it doesn't make sense because it's a miracle. It's a miraculous birth. We find that Jesus defeats Satan on that cross, and one day Satan will be cast in the lake of fire, will burn forever and forever. But as of right now, there's a battle that takes place between, you know, Satan and God and God's people. You know, we'll find that Satan, that he plants the seed of doubt in people's head. He causes a man to take the word of God lightly and cause people to take sin lightly. You know, we look down at Adam and Eve because they sin, yet we sin every day. We take our eyes and, you know, we take our eyes off the Word of God and we begin to take the Word of God lightly, and we fall into sin. You know, we take the Word of God seriously. We need to have a desire to walk with Jesus Christ. I want to just cover one thing before I close, just because I want to mention it. Remember the first time I saw it was pretty interesting to me. The Bible talks about how about how Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they were ashamed. They were naked, you know, they were ashamed. So what did they do? They made fig leaves. They took fig leaves, made aprons. They covered themselves with that. Well, the Bible says over in verse 21, in chapter 3, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Now, I believe there's something that's interesting here. You know, something to note is we notice that God did not accept their clothing. They went and they sewed, they used their hands, they worked, and they made these fig leaves, and they clothed themselves with these fig leaves. But God didn't accept them. In fact, we find that God, what he did, is he gave them coats of skins. You know, first of all, that coats of skins means that an innocent animal had to die. There had to be blood shed. In order for to cover their guilt and cover their shame, innocent blood had to be shed. And notice that God gave it to them. He gave it to them as a gift. It was given by God. I've already mentioned their works were not accepted, that their fig leaves were not accepted. You know, I believe it's a type of Jesus Christ. He is a Lamb of God. God had given, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That he sent Jesus Christ to die, to shed our blood, to shed his blood so that we can have an atonement. Our sins can be cleansed. You know, and that pictures, once again, is not by the works of our hands. That's not accepted by God. It's only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He's a lamb without spot and without blemish. You know, I guess one thing I try to come to a conclusion, you know, in this message. And one thing, as I look at the fall of man, we realize, what was her mistake? You know, what was their mistake? Their mistake was they took the Word of God lightly. You know, they allowed Satan to cast doubt upon the Word of God. You know, that's one thing I found to be a struggle, to get someone to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, and I said, you have to accept Jesus Christ. I show them the Word of God. Show them what they have to do. I said, you have to call upon the Lord and thou shalt be saved. You know, and then I ask them, if they do that, will they be saved? Well, I think so. Well, no, you're not trusting the Word of God. You don't believe fully. You have not placed your faith totally in the Word of God and that alone, that Jesus Christ, he paid for our sins, that Satan has done a work to cast doubt upon the Word of God. You know, we need to realize this book has been proven right over and over and over again, you know, and is not that man has not tried to destroy it, you know. Man has tried to prove it wrong. I mean, over and over again, I mean, they try to ban the Word of God. They try to banish it, you know. They try to make it illegal, you know, at times. But I want you to understand that God's Word, it still stands, and it's never been proven wrong. There is no contradictions, you know. Well, there's contradictions all over. All you do is say, well, show me one. And then most of the time, they'll just, like, start fumbling around, you know. Because someone told them that, you know. And if they do find one, it's because they have not rightly divided the Word of God, you know. Anyways, we'll get into that another time. But let's go ahead and we'll close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your Word, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. I pray as we've taken a look at just the fall of man, I pray that we, once again, we desire to have sweet fellowship, commune with you, Lord. That we find ourselves getting away from the Word of God and getting away from holding God's Word as being precious, Lord. I pray that we get back to that place, that we get back to desiring God's Word, desiring fellowship with you. I thank you, Lord, for the visitors we had this morning. I pray they continue to come back. I pray the decision that someone needs to make today, Lord. I pray that they'll make that, Lord, and they'll continue to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.